This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare. I can't see their faces.
Hi and welcome to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. My name is Kerry and I'm an alcoholic. The purpose of this show is to increase public awareness of Alcoholics Anonymous as an effective means of recovery from the disease of alcoholism. Our show has two parts. First, we'll talk a bit about alcoholism, what it is and what AA can do to help. And then we'll interview a recovering alcoholic who is an active member of AA. I'm now going to ask Louise to read the AA preamble.
Hi, my name's Louise and I'm an alcoholic. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are fully self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety.
So what is alcoholism? Alcoholism is a disease, not a disgrace. There's no shame in having an illness or a disease. An unusual feature of this disease is that it will do whatever it can to convince you that you do not have it. However, once it has a hold of you, the progression of symptoms is like the classic disease model and the victim is as helpless as the sufferer of cancer. If you are an alcoholic, you are at the beginning of a long road that usually ends in one of three places: prisons, institutions or death. If you think this sounds dramatic, we can assure you that our collective experience has shown this to be true. The challenge is to convince the alcoholic to admit that they need help and become willing to seek it. Denial is a major symptom of alcoholism. The alcoholic is often the last one to recognise it and admit that they have it. Our definition of alcoholism is that it is an allergy of the body coupled with an obsession of the mind. The allergy is a physical aspect of the disease. After having the first drink, the phenomenon of craving develops and we lose control over when we will stop drinking. The old saying is one is too many, a thousand is never enough. And yet, because of the obsession of the mind, the mental aspect of the disease, the alcoholic is compelled to keep picking up the first drink. This makes us powerless. We often hear from sober alcoholics that many doubted whether life could be fun without alcohol. Fortunately, those same people report that their lives have improved dramatically since they became sober. The 12-step program of recovery, which is discussed at meetings and which is outlined in the Alcoholics Anonymous Big Book, is how we get sober and maintain our sobriety one day at a time. This program has a proven track record of helping otherwise hopeless alcoholics to achieve long-term sobriety and recovery. It has taught us how to enjoy life sober. Okay, for anyone who has just joined us, you're listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show here on Plains FM 96.9. We're just about to interview an AA member who's going to share their experience with alcoholism. So today we're talking to Debbie D. from Concord, California. She's a popular conference speaker in the United States, well known for her talks on AA legacies and service. She and her husband Kent organise the annual Recovery Unity and Service Conference in their hometown. Sober for more than 42 years, she is recognised as an engaging international speaker. Hi Debbie, it's so lovely to meet you. We're just about to interview our guest, Debbie D. from California. Would our guests like to introduce themselves and give us a quick sketch of who you are?
Well, good morning. Thank you for having me, Kerry. So I am Debbie. I am from the Bay Area in San Francisco. I have been sober for 42 years, since February 8th, 1976. I'm 61, so that means I got sober when I was 18 years old. I was a teenage alcoholic. I am very, very active in my community and in service there, so it's a pretty amazing life I get to live.
Are you married? Do you have any children?
I am married, have been for 17 and a half years, and I don't have any two-legged children, but I have four fur children, as I call them, two cats and two dogs.
Well, they count.
They do for me, yes.
So when did you start drinking, and how did it progress?
Many people come from a home that has alcoholism in it, and I am one of those few that did not have alcoholism in the family. So when I started drinking at 12 years old, it was simply because I wanted to be accepted by the kids I was hanging around with. Little did I know that that night of drinking, for me anyway, would activate what we define as our two primary symptoms of alcoholism: the mental obsession and the allergy, or we also call it the phenomenon of craving. My drinking, even though 12 years old, progressed rapidly, always on weekends and at every additional time I could get. But the symptoms of alcoholism were from night number one.
Mm-hmm. What would you say to any young people who are getting sober very young and they're 18 years old, 20s, getting sober very young? Is there any message you would say to them?
There's probably going to come a time when you think it was just a phase. I doubt that it was. We will sometimes think, well, I got sober too young. For example, I've never had a legal drink of alcohol, and I hope I never do. Because alcoholism, like our big book Alcoholics Anonymous says, alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful, and so is this illness. It can start telling you the biggest lies you can imagine, and they sound like truth.
We also heard a talk from you, and which will be aired at a separate time, and you mention also in it that you find the traditions and concepts very important. Why do you find them so important?
So for those unfamiliar with that, our first legacy is what we call recovery, which is the 12 steps. The second legacy is called unity. They came into play for us in 1955 to unify the groups, to have commonality, and they aren't rules, but how I apply them in my life personally is what has given me these amazing tools to have relationships with the world around me, whether it's one-on-one, in my family, in my community. They're tools of commonality, respect, and, you know, that the world is bigger than me. The 12 concepts came into being in 1962. And while they are often used as our 12 guidelines for maybe our business structure, they too contain excellent guides for me personally, in relationships with other people, and in my, whether it be a work life or home life or family life as well.
That's good to know. You also, in your talk, talk a lot about having the disease of alcoholism while you're sober.
Yes, indeed. There, again, some of the fat lies that my illness can tell me is I don't have this thing. It was just a phase. And while alcoholism generally can be pointed at and manifested in the drunken behavior of someone. They did it again. I can't believe that. They're ruining their home, life, family, their health. Alcoholism, for me, doesn't die just because I put the bottle down. Because the recovery 12 steps are a way of life. And just like anything that you don't continue to practice one day at a time, which is our speed, if you will, you will lose. Whether it's a food program, an exercise program, a budget you're on, if you do not be consistent and do what is successful for you one day at a time, you will end up in a mess. And certainly the thought of drinking has, in my world, in the past 42 years, it has flown by as a thought. Happily, it hasn't landed very long. I haven't taken action on that, but I think part of that is because I have been very grounded in the center of this program of recovery.
What would you suggest for any listeners that think they may have a drinking problem? What questions would you ask someone to help them decide whether they need help?
Well, I know that there are many guides of asking you, do you have a problem? one of the first things is, do you ever lie about your drinking? Is this affecting your family relations, your work relations, the things that are important to you? There's many guides that you can find on the internet asking that question, Googling that question, what if I have a problem with drinking? And you will have many opportunities to answer those questions.
Thank you for that. How did you find your way to your first AA meeting?
Well, my first time I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous was through a treatment program. I was 17 and a half years old, and I was court committed in 1975. Part of their treatment process was introducing us to Alcoholics Anonymous because they knew that that would be the ongoing recovery tools we would need. So it was there that I found my first AA meeting and had never heard of AA until that time. However, I did not, as we like to think, join Alcoholics Anonymous because I wasn't ready to stop drinking. So I really did it because I had to initially, and then after what we call relapses, two of those, I wanted to go.
Did you find the people welcoming there?
I have always been welcomed in any meeting I have gone to. Those first 10 months, I was the one who kept me distant and found the differences and pointed them out to myself. But my reception anywhere, and I've been to meetings all over the world, has been only one of welcome.
How have you managed to stay sober?
Well, of course, one day at a time. For me, it also has become developing a relationship with a higher power. Many people have different names for that higher power, but I have a relationship that is on the inside. It's a spiritual connectedness for me that I continue to connect to every day. I also am very active in service because I'm somebody who thinks the world's all about me and revolves around me. And when I first came into the program, they were really clear. No, 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 no. It's time to learn how to be a giver. You can't be that taker here anymore. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not supposed to take care of myself with rest or exercise or food or, you know, that sort of thing. I'm not going to be very useful if I'm exhausting myself beyond every day. But in the meantime, I can't do everything just based on the me, me, me kind of mentality. So staying in service, trying to be useful and helpful to those around me.
How does spirituality differ from religion?
Well, my concept of religion, and according to my memory, one of the definitions I've noted is it's a very consistent formula, ritual of worship. The belief pattern is the same. The form of worship is the same. Spirituality is so individually defined. Again, here we can call that higher power a number of things. A he, a she, a it, a nothing, a spirit. So spirituality for me is really more of an insider connection. And religious is more of that outside identification.
What does a life lived on a spiritual basis look like?
It feels peaceful. That no matter, even though trauma, drama, life happens, I think what it means more to me is that instead of constantly being reactionary, I've learned through this program how to pause and respond. I don't have to do this knee-jerk reaction to everything all the time. And so peaceful is really the way I've gotten to live for a long time. Doesn't mean I don't have a flashpoint of irritation regarding electronics or something like that. But for the whole of it, peace resides within me.
How would you describe yourself and the life you have today compared to what it was like when you were drinking?
Well, of course, there's really no comparison. I was a teenager living on emotions, drowning them out, and just constantly a reaction, a leaf in the wind, whichever way the wind was blowing. Getting sober allowed me to start living really a life of usefulness and purpose. I'm sure that the people who raised me, who taught me, who led me in spiritual practices, who cared and loved me, I believe they probably tried to give me all of those tools. I did not have the ability to understand or hear them, let alone put them into place. That's what I've gotten to do over the years by making many mistakes, many fall on my faces to get ups and learn from that. Oftentimes we say that to new people, for example, write down all the things you would like to have in your life and then look at it in 5 years. And when you do that, you find out how much you've shortchanged yourself. If I wrote that list even 5 years ago, I never would have had New Zealand on my list. I wouldn't have known to put it on there. I wouldn't have known to put the joy in my heart that has come about and the peace that I get to have. And therefore, if I wrote a list today, once again, 5 years from now, I'd be so short-sighted and short-changed of the life that has been brought to me by being open to be useful.
What have the high spots been for you sober and the low spots? Let's start with the high spots. What have the high spots been?
I have gotten to travel a tremendous amount. I love being in service and not going with an attitude of telling people how to do it. That's not my plan, or nor would that be welcomed. But if I feel that I can make a contribution and it's invited, I feel like I got to be a part of their community, and I certainly brought them home to mine. But always the high spots will be seeing that person coming into Alcoholics Anonymous for the very first time, knowing nothing, and you get an opportunity to really give them a foundation for life. We get to watch the dead become the living. The dead eyes that I walked in here with become bright beams. That you can't buy that. That is all inside work that they have done. And you got to just walk them through that and be by their side as they did it.
Have there been any low spots for you?
Life happens. I have moved. I have had a period of time when I was 4, 5, and 6 years where I slowly, didn't realize it, slowly though, got disconnected because I had moved to a new community and I didn't jump in. I jumped back. I've moved 2 times since then, and I have done the very opposite. I have jumped in. I was married and then did get a divorce, and that was very, very painful. But any divorce is very painful, fragile. Every experience that's been difficult has really been useful in having compassion for those who will come and have the experience after me. And we get here to say, I know what you're going through. And that's another great thing I've learned here is that experience isn't debatable, but my opinion is. So that's why I really work very hard when I share with others or at any level that I'm only coming from my own experience, because that's where the value will always be.
If you could go back and talk to that 17-year-old girl that you were when you came in, is there anything you would say to her now, knowing what you know?
I don't know or believe that I would change anything, because the opportunities as the result of active alcoholism have made such an incredible difference in my life. There isn't anything that I would change. There isn't a year I would live over. Despite the amazing one day at a times or years I've had tremendous gifts presented to me that you cannot buy. Kindnesses, thoughts and shares. And yet I would say, get her done early and get into this program.
Has it all been worth it?
And it it's still fresh and alive within me. This isn't something I used to do. I do my consciousness in today. I want this day. See, it doesn't even feel like I've been here 42 years. I feel like I'm 42 years old, if anything, because I really live in this day. Yes, we have to plan for the tomorrows. I didn't wake up a while ago and say, oh, I think I'll go to New Zealand today. No, planning is done in preparations. But emotionally and mentally, we're to live in today, and especially spiritually. And this is where the light is. This is where the glow is. No matter what the outside temperature is, the glow is on the inside.
All spiritual people talk about that. And it's what our program is very much about, is being in the moment. Because in the moment, everything's fine.
That's right. Yeah.
Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I just would invite people who might be hearing this and are wondering whether or not they're alcoholic, wondering if a loved one is, to invite them to an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. What open means, for those who might not know, is this is where anyone can come. Professionals, people wondering what we are, the friends of people who are alcoholics and just checking us out. They don't participate at the group level, but they can come and find out and listen to our experience. Closed meetings are designed for those who do know they have a problem, and that it's the opportunity for them to feel like they can share with like-minded people and not be told, well, that's silly, just quit drinking. You know, we know that doesn't work for people like us. But while quitting drinking, stopping drinking is part of it, it's not the end of it. Because there is a series of things that I have needed to do to stay stopped. Not be a booze fighter, not be a white knuckler, but to live free from the obsession of alcohol.
The coordinator from the radio show has said to me, please never stop doing the show. Because of the demand, there's so much demand to listen to the show. So she says there's obviously a big problem out there, and she said, please never stop doing the show. And I think we have to never stop spreading the message.
Yes, and I think it's important for we here that are here in the rooms to remember that these new members, these new friends coming to us are very sick, that we once were like that. To allow them to develop sobriety into recovery, to be invitational, invite them one-on-one to the coffee after the meeting or something and not assume they're going to know. We are so withdrawn and so unused to being in the middle of life that we need that act of kindness. That is a huge key component to rekindling that little ember that's burning in there to become the beacon.
I couldn't agree with you more. People come into AA and they have no idea what it's about, and it's up to the members to get around them and take them out for coffee and explain to them how this works and explain about the disease. Very important.
It really is. And sometimes, you know, even I can make those assumptions that people know. But what's really, really important is that, number one, I do what I call work the room. Look for those unfamiliar faces. I don't know if they're new or they're visiting or they're returning to AA, but I'm going to find out. It's important that they feel as comfortable in the rooms as I do.
Absolutely. Debbie, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Thank you very much for joining us for this interview.
My great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
If you would like to hear more of Debbie D, her full story, she was recorded here in Christchurch with Bob D on the 15th and 16th of October, with many thanks to Christchurch City Steps and Tuesday's Big Book Study meeting for putting on those two meetings. It's an hour and a half show, and she will air on the 4th of December, 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. and can be downloaded on podcasts. This was our first TAMS Cam recording, which means that we interviewed Debbie in her hotel room. For our listeners, if you've related to anything that you've heard or would like some more information about Alcoholics Anonymous, you can look us up on the web at www.aa.org.nz or call us on 0800 AA Works. There are 66 meetings a week in Canterbury, so it's likely there's one near you. Join us next week to hear from more AA members sharing their experiences. Our show airs every Monday at 6 p.m. on Plains FM and repeats on Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. You can find podcasts of all our past shows on the Plains FM website at plainsfm.org.nz. That brings us to the end of the show. Thank you for listening, and remember, if you want to drink, that's your business, but if you want to stop, we can help. You don't have to do it alone. We will now close the show altogether with a serenity prayer, as we do in every AA meeting. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom
to know the difference.
You've been listening to the Alcoholics Anonymous radio show on Plains FM 96.9.
Everybody's talking at me, I don't hear words they're saying, only the echoes of my mind. People stop and stare, I can't see their faces, only the shadows of their eyes.